Welcome to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna.
That is caught! Touchdown! Oh my gosh! How did that happen? He got it from 59 yards away for the win!
Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Community First Credit Union, Kerry Limousine, Wachovia, Sonny's Barbecue, and by Everbank. Jaguars This Week begins right now.
Good evening. Welcome to Jaguars This Week, live from the broadcast studio inside Everbank Field in Jacksonville. I'm Brian Sexton. You know, Joe Fortunato is alongside me this evening. And you know what I've noticed, Joe, in recent weeks?
Yes, Brian.
We've not taken many callers.
No, or Facebook or Twitter.
Or any of it, because there's just been so much hot air in the studio between Loggeman and our guest host, John Osher. God bless him. We really appreciate him.
Don't talk about John like that.
No, you know what I mean. But anyway, tonight
Loggy's different.
John's wife, Sherry, is in Jacksonville this evening, and so...
And he hasn't seen his wife since 1964. So, it's
time.
Yeah,
that's an exaggeration, Joe. You can take that one. Anyway, so he's not here this evening, and... Loggy is doing something. It probably involves hunting and probably helpless birds, but that's okay. They taste good when you put them in the oven.
Birds are people, too.
All right. We're just going to leave that one alone. So here's the deal, folks. We have an hour. We have the schedule to talk about. We have the draft to talk about. There's a little bit of labor, okay, that we can talk about as well. Phone lines, as they have been for more than 15 years in this very studio, 800-355-NFL1, 355-NFL1. 6351, if that's the way you choose to communicate, at Jags Voice. If you are on Twitter and want to send a thought that way, and Facebook.com/Jacksonville Jaguars as well. Let's start with the least played. Oh, wait, let's start with the tease, right? Sat down, like an hour and a half ago with Gene Smith.
Yep.
The man who obviously will pull all of the triggers and push all the buttons when it comes to the draft. And they are actually in a meeting in the room right behind us right now, you know, working the process down to next Thursday night. So what Gene and I always do, and on our live coverage, which will begin at 8 o'clock next Thursday.
8 p.m.
Gene has a thought on all the draft choices. We give him a list of the guys that we think, you know, are probably going to be drafted in the time we're on the air. And you've heard Gene over the years, you know, they take Cam Newton and he shares, you know, was an integral part of a very special season, you know, playmaker, that kind of thing.
Playmaker,
right? Yeah, not no. Don't go there. Please don't go there. You had to go there, Joe. Completely different than Gene. So we sat with Gene and we did that. We knocked that out of the way for our draft show prep. And then I said to Gene, I said, you know, Logs is not here and John is not here tonight. So what if you and I just share a quick thought? And it turned out to be about 13 minutes. And it's a good interview.
Yeah, it is.
He's meeting with the media tomorrow. Think about that now. A guy who wants to say nothing. To give anyone a hint of what he is going to do. And he pulled it off last year. I mean, did anybody have Tyson Alualu anywhere near the Jaguars?
But he's a good enough guy not to lie to anybody.
Well, he's not going to lie. And he'll explain his approach to tomorrow's meeting with the media. But he gave us an advance. Because truthfully, for the media folks, they'll use it tomorrow and Friday, Saturday, Sunday, on to next week. This is the only shot we have. Because next Wednesday night is our mock draft. And so we won't play it then. So we've got an interview coming up with Gene right after the news at the bottom of the hour that you won't want to miss. It's 12 and a half minutes.
Something like that.
Good stuff. Really good stuff. So where was I going? Oh, let's start with the labor issue, right? Right out of the gate, because it affects the schedule. I sent out a tweet a couple of hours ago, and it was on Facebook as well. And basically what I said is I really like the schedule. I like it a lot. My hope is that we're going to see it in its entirety. Anyone who knows me knows that I am one of those optimistic, almost rosy-eyed optimistic people. Think, yeah, they'll play it. I'm taking a more realistic view with this because that's the way that the business works. It's just business. And my own personal perspective, were you to ask me, so ask me so that it's honest.
What is your personal perspective?
Is that this thing is going to drag through into August, you know? My sense is that we are going to be asking ourselves after the second scheduled preseason game, hey, when are they going to play? Because remember, you know, the sides today, and you can see this at ProFootballTalk.com, and Albert Breer with NFL Network reported the same thing. The mediation that Judge Susan Nelson ordered the two sides to take part in, it adjourned today, and it will not come back into session until May 16th.
All right,
now,
so
part of that is a judge's schedule, but the other part is if they wanted to keep talking, they could. They're waiting for the Judge Nelson ruling, which probably comes at the end of this month. It'll rule for the players or for the owners, and then the other side will appeal. The appellate system is notoriously slow. It will probably be June before anything happens. So if the owners win and get the lockout, I don't know that we're going to see anything until August. Well, you know, I don't think we see anything until August, and I think we miss a preseason game or two. And it's going to be real interesting to get there. But that's where we are today. Nothing, not a zippo, zero. They adjourn for another month, and we don't probably see a ruling until sometime the 1st of June. So it's, you know, hope we see the schedule. Hope these great games they've got lined up for September the 11th, right?
I know.
10th anniversary.
You agree with this. They're not going to move the Super Bowl. Okay? That's not going to move? Would you agree with that?
Well, no, in 82 they did the shortened season as well. The Redskins won the Super
Bowl. So that means we can only miss games 1 and 2 of the regular season before we start to lose games. Because didn't they back the Super Bowl up an extra week just because of this?
You know, I don't know.
Or at least we got the one bye, so that gives us 2 weeks.
Well, I may be confused, but the thought is if they get the 18-game schedule, then the Super Bowl every year goes to President's Day weekend because the American population.
But I mean, just for the lockout, if we miss...
Maybe they did. I didn't see it if they did it.
If come September 25th, when we're at Carolina, if it isn't settled, we will start to lose games.
Okay. Here's my deal. I don't know whether or not we'll miss a regular season game. I don't know. But I don't know that we're going to see the full slate of the preseason. The veteran,
right.
Why would the veteran players be prompted? They're not losing money yet.
And you know what?
The owners are the ones losing money.
Except for the money being lost.
And they don't want to go to camp anyway.
Right. Fans don't care.
Yeah, right.
Do you think they care if they're going to lose the preseason game?
No. The fans don't care about the preseason game. The players don't care about the preseason. Now, the owners do because that's a profit center for them. Right, because the players aren't getting their 16th share of a game until we get to the regular season.
Suppose with all this, and they want to get all the games in, we are 1 week off, okay? So we don't start playing until September 18th when we go to the Jets.
Yeah.
Now, if that happens, that means we will finish the season at Tennessee, here against Indy, and then at Tennessee again.
You're saying if they added a week.
If they took the week and put
like
it to the end.
Like they did in 2001
that
when
means
9/11 happened.
Tennessee, Indy, Tennessee is how we would end the season if that happened.
Well, there's just no way of knowing. But I think it's safe, and I think most people would assume that this is going to go all summer long, and we are going to have to be patient.
I like what you said. I think we're going to lose some preseason maybe.
Yeah, I think we're going to lose. I do.
We'll start on the 11th.
But there just doesn't seem to be any urgency. You know, here's something else to take into account. And look, the commissioner said this before the lockout. He told everybody, and he was really speaking to the players, go, look, the money, the pot of money that we all share is going to shrink because right away, when we lock out, we're going to lose ticket revenue. And from ticket revenue, you also lose interest because these guys put it in the bank. And they're going to lose local and national sponsorship revenue. Because remember now, and anybody who's in advertising can echo this, the buys for the fall season in both sports and in regular programming, they're all taking place now. These advertising agencies and these advertisers want the message to be seen and heard, and so they've got to place it somewhere. So some of the money is not going to be there for the NFL in the fall. The owners are invested in that. They knew when they made the decision that that was the likely outcome. They're dug in. To a degree, they are dug in, and they're not willing to come away with nothing for what they've already lost. Players have already lost something, too, because they get a portion of that money. So both sides are already looking at having lost something, and both sides want to get something back out. It isn't until both sides figure out how to meet in the middle, obviously, and so that both sides have some wins, that we're going to see anything really dramatic happen. But so I'm saying August. It's just my perspective. And if the preseason schedule, you probably had a chance to see it already, and again, who really cares about the preseason except the hardcore football? John Dineen, you care, right? Because you come to all those games, but because you like the process. But the preseason at New England, Atlanta here, at Buffalo, St. Louis here.
How much?
My guess is the first preseason game will be Thursday, September 1st. That's where I am writing it in. That's where it comes to a head.
This won't be the first ridiculous thing I've ever said. So
you mean today?
This hour. How much of this agreement not being done right away has to do with there being no drama involved? If they settle it, well, there's no drama.
Well, you know, to be honest, I think the business side of this would really rather not have the drama, because what you're doing is you're hurting your customer base. You got fans out there who are miffed. They're mad. You know, I mean, now you've created some excitement with the schedule. I don't know whether you saw it on Facebook and Twitter. I mean, the fans are excited. They look at the schedule, but the excitement's going to ebb into, if it goes all summer, a little bit more anger. I mean, that's coming.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's one side or the other. It's both.
And I know you're going to get to the schedule in a little bit, but we've got a great schedule,
yeah,
I think.
It really is. It's a fantastic schedule. And my hope, my sincere hope is that on Sunday, September the 11th, we see the Tennessee Titans right here at 1 o'clock, and we have all – because you know what the league has done to honor 9/11, right? It's the 10th anniversary of
– The Jets are home against the Cowboys that day. That's going to be
the
game.
No,
the Jets
and the Giants play that day, don't they?
No. Jets are playing the Cowboys.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought the Jets and the Giants were playing each other. I missed
that would have been really neat.
Well,
to have both of them there.
But what you've got is you've got a day that the NFL has made very significant. They have worked hard to place that at the forefront every year, because it's right about the time that the league kicks off their season. And you've got some great games. And so I really hope, as all the people who are listening to this hope, that we don't miss that. You'd hate to miss that. But it's the business side of it, folks, and that's what we're playing with right now.
You could expect 16 flyovers.
Oh, it'd be awesome. How many years ago was it that they had Bon Jovi at that fire hall singing the national anthem, and they put it across every 1 o'clock kickoff at the same time? I mean, it was just, you could just, it all felt interconnected, which is what all of us felt for those days and hours and weeks following 9/11, and it just, it was special. Who will ever forget, you know, the firemen here and Tom Coughlin going out to embrace them after that year? You know, it was just, so we don't want to miss any of that. That's the beauty of professional football and what they've been able to do with their product, and now marrying it with something that is obviously very important to all Americans. You know what? We need to take a break. Check out the Jaguars Bud Light Draft Party, folks. It's presented by PRI Productions this year. There'll be alumni players. The Roar of the Jaguars, the D-Line, and Jackson DeVille be on hand draft day beginning at 6:30. That's a week from tomorrow at the Markets at Town Center between Whiskey River and Sweet. Of course, we'll be on the air at 8 o'clock to chronicle the first round of the draft for you right here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. We'll take this break and come back with more Jaguars This Week right after this. Well, you can become a part of Jaguars Advantage, the new Jaguars fan loyalty program. With Jags Advantage, season ticket owners can earn up to 15% cash back. Say that again, folks, 15% cash back. Ring in your ears these days? It should, and it's at hundreds of your favorite online retailers. For more information, check out JaguarsAdvantage.com. Brian Sexton back with you here on Jaguars This Week. Sans Slogerman. No John Osher either, but Joe Fortunato's alongside. John Dineen's providing moral support here in the studio this evening. You can join us, 800-355-6351, 355-NFL1. Facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars, and at Jags Voice is the Twitter address. Got one, Andy Willis. Jags Voice, what game are you most looking forward to calling? The first one. The first one. I mean, maybe let it be on the 11th of September. Beyond that one, I would say Monday night, October 24th, here against the Baltimore Ravens for a lot of reasons. One, I love late October. The weather here is magnificent. The Ravens have been a very good football team. Monday night football is great. It's my birthday. So, I mean, hey, you know, I mean, that's the day I point to. Monday, October 24th against the Baltimore Ravens. I'm looking forward to that one most. But the first game that we call will be the game I'm really looking forward to, because it means the labor issue has behind us and we're moving on with football. Again, 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351 to join us on the program this evening. Let's go to that schedule. We've talked about it. You probably have looked at it already, but we'll give you a couple of quick thoughts. Obviously, we've been through the preseason at New England, Atlanta, at Buffalo, St. Louis. Not reasonably optimistic that we'll see that whole schedule, and it doesn't really matter anyway. But when you look at the first 3 weeks of the season, Tennessee at home, at the New York Jets, at Carolina. Well, obviously, you get a Tennessee team in transition. I mean, the new coach, new quarterback, unless Kerry Collins, you know, going into year 17, still has enough to be the guy. That, you know, that's a team that needs an overhaul in a lot of different ways. And so, you know, even though they got the Jaguars last year once, I like that one at home, 1 o'clock. at the New York Jets. What better way to start on the road than against that team? And Rex Ryan and all the mouthiness, they went to the AFC title game each of Mark Sanchez's first 2 years. You know, they went up to New England and beat Tom Brady. But, you know, the Jaguars got them. The Jaguars have got them the last two times they've played them. So I like that. And then you go to Carolina. And, of course, Carolina is a team in transition as well. New coach. You may see Cam Newton if he's the guy that they take. So I like the way that the season starts. I mean, right out of the gate, you've got three games, two of which you should be favored in, and one that you like to go up as the underdog, play loose, play relaxed, which is what this team, you know, generally likes to do, and see what you can create out of it. So that's the first month. We don't have time to go through this whole thing. We've got about two and a half minutes. Should I grab Bill? Do we have enough time for Bill?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So, Bill, you got the rest of the hour here, which is only 2 minutes, but what's your thought on the blackout?
Yeah, I wanted to ask, do you think that the NFL is going to enforce the blackouts this year, seeing as how they're the ones that locked everybody out and caused the lapse in ticket sales? You know, it's their fault that those tickets aren't sold. Are they still going to black us out? What do you think?
Yeah, I have no knowledge. It is a great question, and I would imagine that early on, if they were going to lift the blackout, they would do it early on because there will be a number of teams. Remember now, folks, in recent years, the sold-out stadium in the National Football League has become the exception, not the rule. I mean, there were lots of stadiums last year that had lots of empty seats in places like Kansas City and Denver, which traditionally have been full, okay? So if we get to August and teams have not sold season tickets, it is going to be physically impossible in many ways to fill the building. So I wouldn't be surprised in a short time frame if they do lift the blackout in some places and do allow the teams to put the games on television, sold out or not sold out. I don't know that I would look for that the whole year long, and I have no knowledge either way of what they would or wouldn't do. If I haven't heard it addressed, but my guess is that in a very shrewd public relations move, that Roger Goodell and the NFL owners will say, let's go ahead and put these games on TV. We love you. You're our fans. You've made the game. You know what they're going to say. And get this thing rolling again to give their ticketing offices time to get the tickets out. And then I would say, you know, maybe November, they'll start saying, hey, you know, it's time to put the games on TV that are sold out, and the games that are not, you know, c'est la vie. So just an opinion, which is what we do here on the radio anyway. No way of knowing for sure.
That would be a nice thing for them to do.
It would be.
I'm not going to count on it.
Well, it's something that's going to have to be.
Although I don't think this team's going to have that problem.
Well, no.
But there will be teams that will have that problem.
Look, the owners understand that this game has enjoyed tremendous success and growth because people have bought tickets, they've bought direct TV packages and hats and T-shirts and the whole nine yards. They're going to have to work to bring people back. I think people come back because pro football is king, all right? Just look at what fantasy football and Las Vegas mean. Both of them are gambling vehicles, right? But fantasy football is huge. My brother-in-law is a fantasy football nut. He lives for it, and all of his buddies do too. I'm stunned at the people who tell me they're in a fantasy league. I'm stunned. And so I believe people will come back regardless. They may come back grudgingly at first, and there will be some that probably won't, but the masses will come back. Still, the NFL owners can accelerate that process, and the players as well, by that show of goodwill. We'll see. I gave you my opinion. I think we're into August. I could be completely wrong. A judge's ruling could reinstate it. We could be going back to business as usual at some point in June. Just a realistic perspective. Okay, when we come back from this break, Gene Smith shares his pre-draft thoughts with you exclusively here on Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it. Welcome back, Jaguars This Week, bottom of the hour. We certainly appreciate you joining us this evening. Next Wednesday night, our mock draft. John Osher, Jeff Lagerman return for that. And, of course, the next night, the actual draft. We'll start at 8 o'clock right here on News Talk Radio, WOKV, and we'll walk you through. And then when the Jaguars pick, we'll hear from Gene Smith. We'll hear from Jack Del Rio. We'll hear from the first-round pick. And so you don't want to miss a moment of it if you're out and about. It's a Jaguar-centric, Jaguar-specific draft as we take a look at 2011. All right, now look, I'm biased because I've known him for an awful long time back in the days when this organization was working in a trailer. But I have long admired the work ethic and the studious nature of Jaguars general manager Gene Smith. And every year when we sit and we tape the player-by-player segments where he shares a quick thought about each and every player, and then, of course, when the player is selected, we run that clip on our radio broadcast. So I've always admired the depth of his knowledge. And this evening he came in to do it, this afternoon, and I said, hey, look, Jeff's not here. John Osher's not with us this evening. Do you mind if, you know, since you're already going to visit with the media tomorrow anyway, do you mind if we sit and we have a conversation? And it was great. The Jaguars are very fortunate to have someone like this leading their personnel effort, because you must remove the emotion. Let's admit it. We all fall in love with players. They go to the college that we went to, or we watched them on Saturday afternoons and we were awed by it. These guys take all that out of it, because that game on Saturday is not this game on Sunday. And not every great player is a great player at the NFL level. So they go in depth to degrees, to levels, talking to girlfriends and former teammates and strength coaches. I mean, they just go all out in looking for information. And so Gene Smith is the best source. And tomorrow, a lot of the other media will have the opportunity to ask some of the same questions. But you get it tonight, and you get it first. So here is Jaguars general manager Gene Smith. So you're a little more than a week away from the draft. At this point, how much of the process is complete? Is 100% complete?
Well, we're very close to having our final draft plan. Until we meet with Wayne and go through the actual draft plan with him, it really isn't final. He has the opportunity to make any comments. But for the most part, he's going to trust the people that he's hired. We're very close to the final plan that we'll take into draft weekend, much like a game plan that a coach would have going into a game.
People on our side of the microphone have no idea how it's going to play out. We might be able to pick one or two. Do you have a sense, and I'm not asking you to share it, but do you have a sense, you and your guys, of which teams are headed which direction and how things are going to roll?
Well, we have a good idea. There's certainly no givens. You got a lot of humans a part of this process, and you also have humans evaluating humans when you're actually in player personnel day-to-day, and that can be a very challenging thing. But we have good indications what teams are doing based on who they've worked out, who they visited, what their needs are. There's a lot of work that our pro staff in particular does to prepare us for that.
You know, there are certain teams that over the years have earned a reputation for being unpredictable. Do you recognize that you all of a sudden are in that? Based on the Tyson pick last year, people think that there's a little wild card there, that you might not know exactly what Gene Smith is going to do. You kind of like that, I would think, wouldn't you?
Well, I think it's like an offensive coordinator. I think you want to be balanced in your attack so people aren't certain what you'll do. I would just like to say that we just follow our draft board. And I think sometimes people get so focused not only on the first round, but what the media mocks are. And we're not going to draft off anyone's draft board but ours.
The process of putting the draft board together, there's so much information available now. Is there almost too much information, or would you rather have more?
Well, I'm usually a guy that would say less is best, but this day and age, with the amount of information that is out there, Brian, there's a lot of misinformation, and so you really have to follow up and find out the accurate information on some of the things that are being put out. So you continue to monitor, you continue to follow up all the way actually till you make a draft selection. So I think more is probably better when you're talking about people's background, because we do put a premium on character, and it's more so because there's too much misinformation at times put out there right before the draft.
Right. You know, and Gene, we talk all the time about following the draft board and taking the emotion out of the process and putting it all together. Is there, at any level of your grading process, a gut feeling? I mean, when you got two guys that are right there and one maybe goes above the other guy on your draft board, does your gut play into it at all, or is it all statistical data information?
I think it has to play into it. You do a lot of work. You get a strong conviction for a number of players in the draft, and that's really what you want. But at times, you know, you got guys in the same grade range, And you do have to make a call. And I think that's part of good decision making is the ability to do that. You hope that you create some of your luck in the draft by how hard you prepare. But, you know, we're going to go into the draft with our plan. And, you know, we never know for sure how it's going to unfold, but we're going to stay with our board.
How different is the whole process this year without having free agency to supplement your roster and give you a sense of some different directions you might be able to head?
Well, it won't impact teams as much that truly believe in acquiring the best available player, at least early in the draft. Some teams get away from it as players become more similar, like in the middle rounds. But there are some teams that, because of pro free agency now being after the draft, they'll go direct need, even in the first round. And we're not going to be one of those teams. Again, you have a plan, and you got to work the plan. There's just too much work put into it, and you got to trust the work that you've done.
You obviously can't predict how the whole thing's going to roll out, but is this the year that a quarterback is sitting in a place where it makes sense for you? There are a lot of them, aren't there?
There are, and we hope so. We're not going to push somebody up and have that player, in essence, be overdrafted and come in here and underperform. I mean, you can't manufacture players. You got to grade it for who they are. Try to get yourself in position to draft someone that you like. And again, sometimes it takes a little luck for that guy to be there, that guy to fall to you.
Right.
You can't always say, okay, we're going to trade ourselves into position. There's got to be people that are willing to deal with you. And sometimes if you sit, a guy may come to you. And so there's a lot of things that are in play on those 3 days of the draft. And again, some of it is having good fortune.
A couple more quick thoughts. You're doing a media luncheon tomorrow. How difficult is it for you, because, like it or not, this is a very secretive process, to go sit with a group of media members the week before the draft? Because, obviously, you don't want to give anything away, and yet, I know you don't want to mislead anyone either. That can't be an easy task for you.
Well, it's not easy, but the one thing that we should know is the draft and the players in it, you know, Terry and I in particular. So we enjoy being able to give back, be able to help the media's cause, because they got a job just like we do.
Sure. And it helps the franchise when they tell stories.
That's right. And so I'll help them to a point, but I'm never going to compromise our team position. I just won't, like you said, try to mislead people. I won't send them down the wrong path. I'll tell them enough that it'll enable them to do their jobs a little bit better, but yet not, again, compromise our team position. And so I feel like we can be good for each other.
You've mentioned Terry McDonough twice by name. He'll sit next to you at that luncheon tomorrow. Can you give people a sense of how he works with you? Because I know you guys are very close. You've got different personality traits. Is it very helpful to have somebody who's different than you as you go through this process to bounce things off of?
It is. The one thing that you want if you're in a leadership position is people to give their honest opinion. You never want to have yes people around you. I mean, it doesn't help the process.
No.
It doesn't help you make good decisions, because they're in essence a good cross check to ensure that you're making well informed decisions in the best interest of the organization. So Terry's a guy that'll give a very strong opinion. He's a guy that is very passionate about what he does. He's a guy that I do trust. We do invest a lot of time together, not just in the month of April.
Yeah.
We do it, you know, year-round. But the month of April, the intensity of it is something that you can't really respect until you go through it. And it's very exhausting once you get to this point, because you really want the draft to get here, and then you kind of function on adrenaline, and then once the draft's over, it's almost like you have mono for a couple days. It's a really amazing process, and I think it's probably the same for people if you know they have to come to a big decision, or they got things in their life professionally that takes this type of intensity right down at the end. Maybe it's negotiating a big deal, but for us, it's football, and it's trying to make the best decisions for our team, And we expect to get a lot out of it because we've certainly put a lot into it.
When the draft is over, you won't be able to go sign undrafted rookie free agents this year, will you? How
difficult
this point, would that process
no.
be? Right, unless something gets done with a labor agreement.
Yeah, at this point, no. It won't be that difficult because it's the same for every team in the league. We have a very good process in place. We will go through it just like college free agency could be in place after the final pick. But if it's not, whenever they give us the window that we can start it, we'll be prepared to do so.
You're going to be busy. I mean, at some point that's going to start, and free agency, professional free agency is going to start. You're going to be wearing a bunch of different hats all summer long, aren't you?
It is, but from our end, it's again what we do, and I want to make darn well sure that we're playing football this fall. I think everybody's motivated to do that. So whatever they decide, like I said, it's the same for all 32 teams, so I don't think there's anybody getting a competitive advantage in this process if they worked hard to prepare to get themselves to draft weekend.
Final thought. Is there a draft day memory, a favorite draft day now in years past that you can share? One of mine is that we sat on the other side of the wall here back in 98 when the safety from UCLA went, and we could hear an audible groan in the room. You go, oh, boy, I guess they wanted him. And I turned to Vic Ketchman, and I said, I think maybe Donovan Darius is the next best safety on the board. Nah, I'm not going to take him. Of course, they did take him.
Yeah, I believe it was Sean Williams from UCLA.
Yes, Sean Williams, the safety from UCLA. From all your years being around, this got a favorite draft day story that you can share?
Not really. You hear, the term war room, okay?
Right.
You really should not have a war room on draft day if you prepared well going into it. We want to make rational decisions when we're on the clock. And we certainly want to get the work done beforehand, not irrational ones at the last minute. And so we, again, stack our board, and then we just take the next guy that's there. So that's the way we do it, so I really don't have any special stories to share.
Not a Bill Belichick throwing a phone across the room the day Kyle Brady got grabbed.
No, I've heard stories.
Yeah, I'm sure you have. Those probably can't tell on the air. Gene, I really appreciate your time. Best of luck the next week, and obviously luck doesn't play in it when you're as prepared as you and Terry and your gang are. Good luck, though, next week and things falling to you.
Thank you, Brian.
You know, every team may be that prepared, and if they are, wow. It's going to be a very interesting draft. But I can tell you, sitting in here with him for more than a half an hour, they know their stuff and they are ready to go. And so are we to our final break. When we come back, we'll have 5-6 minutes and we'll go through the rest of the schedule, share a couple thoughts with you. You're welcome to join us, 800-355-NFL1, 355-NFL1, at Jags Voice via Twitter and Facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars. Back with one more segment, Jaguars This Week on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it. All right, a little less than 4 minutes left, and we went through the first month, right? Tennessee, at New York, at Carolina. Again, look at the schedule. And John Dineen and Joe and I were talking about it while you were listening to Gene Smith. You know, three of your first five games at home and three of your last five games at home. You've got that long stretch of away games, those three games in a row that the Jaguars generally get at the end of October.
4 of 6 at home.
Where? Yeah. But I'm talking about this three-game stretch. You know what I mean? Where they're, but how about this? Your three-game road trip, which is always tough, is broken up by the bye week. So it's taken that away. You got two Monday night games at home. I mean, come on. After the Jaguars laid the egg that they laid here against the Titans last year, did you think we were going to see a Monday night game here this year? I mean, granted, the crowd was awesome. The energy as that game, leading up to the game and at that game, was the last two primetime games here, the Colts in 2009 and then last year against the Titans. You cannot fault the city. It was awesome. And you got two. You got that Monday nighter in October against the Baltimore Ravens. And then I forgot they even played the Chargers. You get the Chargers here at home Monday night football.
If there was ever a game you could pick on the schedule if you didn't know any days, you would say, well, we're going to have trouble selling a Charger game. But it's a Monday night game. It's perfect.
You know, you look at it, the Titans, it's opening day. Again, provided that we get there. The Saints, I mean, you're talking about Drew Brees coming in here with a prolific offense. The Bengals might be a tough one to go, but Monday night against the Ravens, the Chargers, as you just mentioned, the Buccaneers, they'll bring some people over for sure. The Colts, no. This thing is a very good schedule.
The Bucs may play in front of the most people they ever have when they come here.
Well, not ever have, but they had a really a bad year last year. I mean, all their games were blacked out. They had an empty stadium. And then, of course, we go back to Pittsburgh for the first time since the end of the 2007 season, where the Jaguars won in the regular season and then won in the postseason. And you just don't know what's going to happen in Pittsburgh. I mean, they're a team that is in need of a rebuild on their offensive and defensive lines. I mean, Aaron Smith breaks down every year. Casey Hampton's gotten older.
I know what's going to happen in Pittsburgh.
You know, their offensive line needs some help. What?
I'm going to eat bad.
You're going to eat bad?
Yeah.
Where?
Permanente Brothers, probably.
Oh, come on, man. Can we raise your culinary?
No. It's anytime you put the French fries on the sandwich, I'm all for it.
Wait, you can't go to any local restaurant and grab the French fries and throw
no,
them on the
just
sandwich?
No, it's better when they do it. It's just something about it.
Right, the next time we get out, I'll do it for you so you can have the experience.
Thank
and
you.
We can take you to a fine restaurant like Tony's when we are up there. So, love the schedule. I love the fact that the Jaguars start out with three of their first five at home. And finish with three of their first five at home. And, you know, you've got that Saturday game. Of course, there are 13 Saturday games on Christmas Eve, so it's not as if that's a standalone game, but it means that you got a divisional game, you know, with hopefully significance on Christmas Eve, and what's more fun than that? So I appreciate all of you joining us this evening. For a solo edition, although I wasn't solo. John Dineen, Joe Fortunato were here.
Hey, this is really the time to just go beat up Peyton Manning, isn't it?
Okay. I think you're right.
I mean, it's been too long.
All right. On the You mean right now?
Yeah, I mean now. Let's just go beat him up.
Okay. All right, folks. That'll do it for our program this evening. Don't forget, next Wednesday, our mock draft. Next Thursday, our live coverage of Draft 2011. Thanks to everybody for joining us. Talk to you next week.